This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where just a week ago, Dan Hurley may have left the Lakers on red, but little did he know, he may have actually left them on red dick. Pixar's turning red, how about the Lakers turning reddick? Coach Podcast, we got him. So the Lakers have officially named J.J. Redick as their next head coach, signing him to a four-year, $32 million contract. Finally, I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tommy Alexander. And Tommy, the long, winding coaching search odyssey is over. It was who we thought it always was, J.J. Redick. So off the bat, I think the process of how we got here is less interesting to talk about than the fact that we're just finally here. So we shall let other podcasters debate about the paper trail. But with that said, before we get into any long-winded prognostications, your quick gut check, your temperature check as a fan, how are you feeling now that the hire is official? J.J. Redick, Lakers head coach.
I think when I first heard about this, I was a lot more put off by it than I am now. I'm okay with it. I guess like what it comes down to, right, is first of all, I'm in the camp that like anyone who wants to say with certainty that this move is good or bad right now, I'm not like one of those people, right? Like I'm not in that group, and I don't think it's reasonable to be in that group. I think like it's easy to bet that he's going to fail. Right. I mean, and that's not just because most coaches who don't have prior coaching experience fail, which is true. It's because most coaches fail. I mean, like, you know, people were like, oh, I saw some reports that were like, J.J. Redick should just take the Pistons job. It's so much less pressure. The Pistons just fired their coach after 1 year, after they signed him to like a 6-year, $78 million deal. Right. So it's like most coaches just don't end up working out. We want to load up his staff with experienced assistants, and we just hope for the best. As I was saying, most inexperienced coaches tend to fail, but, you know, Steve Kerr obviously had success, and I think, you know, that's the model that we're hoping we can sort of replicate here. And if you actually go back and read the interviews that Brian Lacombe, I don't know how you say his last name, the owner of the Warriors gave, and Bob Myers gave after Steve Kerr was hired, it sounds a lot like, you know, this similar process for Redick. And for whatever reason, people point to like Steve Kerr had a run as like an exec in the front office, and so that gave him experience. It's like, okay, Steve Kerr's failed executive run where he like dismantled the fun and gun like Mike D'Antoni's sons and made them like horrifically mediocre and, you know, ruined all of their long-term assets for, you know, Shaquille O'Neal at the end of his career. That Steve Kerr, I'm sure he got such valuable experience from that it helped him with his coaching, right? It's like the reality is none of us know. And so all we can do is hope for the best.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think for me, this is the time to be excited in the vacuum of the dog days of summer of the offseason. So I am excited. I have a lot of questions. There's a lot of apprehension. But again, all you can feel in the vacuum of this offseason right now with no Lakers basketball in the last like 2 months is hope and promise. It's like we just made a deal with that OpenAI guy, Sam Altman, and we're headed into the future. You know, JJ Redick is the flashy, sexy new young guy name. It's like we got into the crypto business. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. All I know is it feels like we're headed into the future. I'm honestly just relieved that the Lakers finally got this done. We can begin forging ahead with a unified step. I do find it amusing that instead of calling him Pat Riley, the first thing we heard out of the bylines is that the Lakers are calling JJ Redick their next Eric Spoelstra, Tommy. They updated it.
Yeah.
It's not Pat Riley anymore. It's Eric Spoelstra.
It's for the millennials.
Yeah, for the millennials. But yeah, I'm very intrigued that by what JJ Redick's coaching philosophy is, because we have no idea what he hangs his hat on. I'm very intrigued by how he rounds out his staff. We're hearing talks of Rajon Rondo, Jared Dudley. The Lakers are also hoping to bolster his staff with at least one former head coach like Scott Brooks, Terry Stotts. David Adelman may actually still be in the running. But I don't know. For me, overall, I'm excited by the breath of fresh air. I'm excited by the fact that we didn't go with a retread. It does feel like a turning of a new page. Feels like the true bridging of the Lakers LeBron era into the Anthony Davis era and beyond. And I'm glad that him and Anthony Davis over the last few days were able to personally connect and get on the same page. So I don't know. In some senses, there is a very weird nepotistic aspect to this. It feels like we got this frat boy vibe going on all of a sudden with LeBron James' podcast partner. And now the Lakers are just going to be a dual Clutch and Duke feeder team, especially because, you know, during this head coaching process, the Lakers were using Coach K as an unofficial consultant, right? But overall, for now, I'm excited by the prospects while understanding that this could all go off the tracks pretty quickly. And that winning a title next year is probably not in the cards. But who knows? Having said that, Tommy, looking at things from the mountaintop viewpoint, in general, what do you think Redick can bring off the bat? I don't think we need to force the insight here since a lot of this is up in the air till we hear what JJ Redick has to say in his first presser. But off the bat, I know that it's been reported that the Lakers were very impressed in JJ Redick's interview by his attention to detail, his preparation. I think JJ Redick is going to be very motivated to prove a lot of people wrong and hit the ground running here. He is that grinder that Rob's been looking for, someone who will be in the film room and work overtime and prepare religiously on and off the court as much as the players do. I think there was a disconnect there with Darvin Ham and a lot of the Lakers players this season. And because he was a former player, a very former recent player, like JJ Redick as a player always went the extra mile in his own regiment. You know, he's a big believer in working smarter and harder, not just mindlessly working harder, but being efficient about how you do your work. I actually did some research before this podcast and I stumbled upon this JJ Redick interview where he was talking about his son's storybook, one of his son's favorite storybooks, and what he learned from it. This book is called The Carrot Seed, and it's about a little boy who kept relentlessly pulling out weeds. And it's about a little boy who wanted to plant this seed, and his parents kept telling him that it would not grow because of all the weeds. But the boy just relentlessly kept pulling out weeds and watering the seed day after day, regardless of whether or not his dad, his mom, his brother kept telling him it's never going to grow. Eventually, it grew because of his persistence. And to quote JJ Redick, it's that idea of being in the weeds every day, quite literally. For an athlete, people see the 82 games we play. They see the playoffs. What they don't see is the diligence required on a daily basis to prepare your body and sharpen your skills to be a world-class athlete. It's this diligence to be in the weeds, but also to have passion about what you're doing. Otherwise, the grind will defeat you. That was when JJ Redick was still a player, but I think he's going to apply that very heavily to what he does as a coach, because I think he's a very intelligent guy. He's been around basketball his entire life at all of the highest levels his entire life. Coach K he's a Coach K disciple. He's played with and against some of the biggest stars and knows how to deal with their ego. But also, having been a role player, he also knows how to empathize and level with the tertiary guys and help bridge that gap between those guys and the superstars. So yeah, what are your thoughts just off the bat generally on what you think Redick will bring? Because yeah, I mean, he's kind of cocky. He does strut around with this privilege, but at the end of the day, I cannot deny that he is a hard worker.
Yeah, so I think the way you put it earlier here, you know, kind of when we started, is like, this is the Lakers kind of step into the future. I think like one thing that stood out to me from all the reports about like what they were looking for with Redick and what he sort of delivered in the interviews, the biggest thing that kind of stood out to me was the rationale, right? It wasn't just platitudes and we're going to play this way and this is how we want to do it. And I want to keep LeBron off the ball so he's, you know, rested. It's like, this is all stuff that anyone could say, right? The interesting thing I took from like the reports was Redick really gave the impression that every principle he's going to implement is going to be supported. And that's something that we've lacked. We've lacked like a head coach that wants to bring in ideas supported by real data and not supported by like old school notions of how things typically work in the league. And just like, you know, old school gut check basically is what we were using with Darvin Ham. And that really stood out to me. And that was one of the things, I'm sure I was one, you know, there were other Laker fans like me who, like, when Monty Williams got fired by the Pistons, that was one of the things I was scared about. Because, like, if you, like, we would go after somebody like that, right? Because if you look at Monty Williams's quotes about analytics and numbers and all this and that, it's not the most encouraging, okay? And it's not the most forward thinking. And, you know, we have all this data available to us, and it just felt like the Lakers were so far behind everybody else in how it was utilized. And now we're taking a significant step forward in that regard. So, you know, that stuff I'm very optimistic about. I'm not really like concerned about like the players not respecting JJ Redick. I mean, it's like, like you said, it's like, well, what are the other options, right? It's like, you're not going out and getting Eric Spoelstra. You're not getting Ty Lue. You're not getting Greg Popovich. You're not getting one of these, like, established, like, universally well-regarded coaches. You're either getting a retread, meaning, like, this guy's been fired by multiple teams already, and guys may already have their opinions of him. Or you're getting like a completely new guy. And like, you know, again, to your point, it's like JJ has the candor and just sort of like veteran respect from, you know, he can get that from like LeBron James. And if he gets it from LeBron James, he'll probably get it from Anthony Davis and other veterans. But like, he's clearly smart too, right? And I think that that's something that these players are going to notice. And I think like, again, shifting dynamics in the NBA, but I think as the league kind of continues to progress, you're getting more and more young guys who come in and like understand the numbers and like understand scheme and like understand how all of these things matter and like understand that, like, you know, especially with guys like Austin Reeves, it's not sheer athleticism that's going to determine how much success you have in the league, right? So, you know, I think he will be able to reach everyone. I think his principles will be based in like real numbers. It's just like, what's going to be interesting for me is how quickly this can all come together and who he gets to like fill out his staff. Because it's like, you could talk about, oh, we want everything to be based off numbers and all this and that. Somebody's got to run this scheme, right? And like, for all the trash talking about Darvin Ham, the reality is like, a couple of years ago, post-trade deadline, the Lakers were, you know, when we made the Russ trade post-trade deadline that year, the Lakers were an elite defense, if not number one post-deadline, like in the top three. in this past season, the last 4 months of the season, the Lakers were the number one offensive team in the NBA. And like, not only number one this season, but like historically good for the franchise offensively. So Darvin had significant issues and we were all like pining for that guy to get fired as soon as possible. But I guess what I'm getting at is like things that he was doing worked. The five out scheme clearly worked. We were running sets that like clearly work. So it's like, what is JJ going to bring in? Is he going to bring in a fulsome like playbook, you know, that we could run things off of? Is he planning to farm that out to someone? How is he expecting that like that dynamic will work if he's farming out the offense to somebody else, but he wants to step in with all his like analytics and all this other information? Like there are a lot of questions that sort of have to be sorted out. But I think like of the options that were available, taking this sort of moonshot head coach hire and then hopefully filling out the assistant coach spots with guys with a little more experience, I think that's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, I think it's just honestly going to have to be a vibe, Tommy. Next season, the start of next season, it's going to have to be a vibe, and JJ Redick is going to have to lead that vibe. He is going to turn 40 years old in just 4 days, which is crazy to me. And you mentioned you don't think that him connecting with the players is going to be a problem. Not only do I not think that's going to be a problem, I think that's actually his greatest strength, because as opposed to Dan Hurley, while we would have been set up with a very refined on-court system to fall back on with him, I was actually very concerned by Hurley's ability to tone down his personality and connect with the players off the bat. Yeah. I have very little concerns with JJ Redick's ability to meet the players where they're at, be candid with them, and call them out on their bullshit. I also think he should help with free agency, even more so than Dan Hurley would have been able to, because these players like know him. They respect him. He's one of the guys. Like literally 2 years ago, Jackson Hayes was like teammates with him, you know? So I don't have any problems with that. It's going to be interesting to see how he fills out his staff. But yeah, why don't we take it to break? When we return, let's talk a little bit more about our stray thoughts with JJ Redick and then sort of round the corner and talk about what this means for the upcoming draft, which is next week. So we'll take it to break.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so we are back. Tommy, any other stray thoughts on the JJ Redick hiring and what this means for the offseason now that we have him officially penned in and pegged down? With regards to player decisions, I think his hiring means there's greater chance that Jackson Hayes maybe opts into his contract, whether you want that to happen or not. As I mentioned, the two were teammates in New Orleans and had a pretty good relationship. I think his hiring means Chris Paul, his former Clippers teammate, is 100% a Laker at some point for the vet minimum, maybe. I think if he hires on either Jared Dudley or Rajon Rondo or both, that would also mean a higher likelihood that D'Angelo Russell returns, as he was very close with Jared Dudley when both of them were on the Brooklyn Nets. And then when it comes to Rondo, I mean, Rondo was pretty much D'Angelo Russell's point guard mentor. He trained with Rondo when he was at Mount Verde in high school. So with regards to the young guys, I'm very interested in seeing how Redick impacts the development of guys like Austin Reeves, who he's had on his podcast, And that's going to be the most paramount thing, right? How J.J. Redick utilizes Austin Reeves. And then from there, how he utilizes and develops guys like Max Christie, who didn't really get a fair shot last year. And then Rui Hachimura, who should be very key as well. And then obviously Anthony Davis is going to be like the biggest linchpin here of how J.J. Redick utilizes him. But I think he's going to have a much, much easier time connecting with these young players and doesn't seem nearly as out of touch as Darvin Ham was. In a lot of ways, I think, and I've said this before, I think the Lakers were on the right track when they hired Luke Walton, because Luke had all of the personal qualities you wanted, including having been a recent player. He just didn't have like the experience and maybe the intellect to back that up. I think this is a good reset, like a good redo of Luke Walton with J.J. Redick, because Darvin Ham probably swung too far the other way, because by this point, I mean, Darvin Ham's like a boomer, right? Anyways, but yeah, any other stray thoughts on Redick?
Yeah, I think the Luke Walton, I wanted to say that earlier actually too, but I do think this one's going to work out better. I think the Luke Walton at the time felt relatively safe because he had that experience on Steve Kerr's bench, and not only had the experience, but I mean, Steve Kerr, as we remember, like missed half a season and Luke coached the Warriors. I mean, it's like funny how like clearly this means a lot, right? But like, it was the case that over 41 games, didn't the Warriors go like 38-3 with Luke Walton as their coach or something?
Yeah, they had a very good record. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, we all thought that maybe he would bring some of that over, but I think, you know, The overall theme that keeps getting repeated is Redick's preparedness. And I think that is a huge, huge key. And, you know, you mentioned this about Dan Hurley and his personality. I think another thing I was really concerned about with Dan Hurley was like, does this guy understand the NBA grind? This is like every year we talk about this 82 game grind with respect to the players. And then we live through the regular season as fans. Doesn't it even feel brutal to like watch at times? Like like these three games and five nights on the road, like all odd times of the day. And it's just like, I think a lot of guys are just not like ready for that grind. And as a coach, it's like, it's not less work, right? It's like, maybe you're not going to the gym after practice. Maybe you're not lifting weights and doing all this and that, but like, you're the one that has to come up with a scheme against every single team, you know, for every single game. And it's a grind. And so I think like Redick is willing to do that. And I think he understands the grind. And I think he's like psychotically competitive. I mean, it's like, you just look at it, even when he does the ESPN stuff, right? Like he is like analyzing every word that like, he takes everything that everyone says at face value on that show. And there's a bunch of crazy lunatics like Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. Smith and all these people. And J.J. Redick is looking at them with his eye like he's about to tear apart every word they just said, right? Whereas most people, you know, like most of what you're getting on ESPN is Mark Jackson, hand down, man down. So, you know, that's like the level of, that's like that delta between hand down, man down and J.J. on ESPN, I think is like going to be similar to like Luke Walton and J.J. as a coach.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm excited to see what happens this season and the type of passion and drive that J.J. Redick brings, and also kind of his like his wittiness in the press room with these interviews and whatnot. It should be interesting to see him go back and forth with his former head coach, Doc Rivers. I know Doc Rivers had a lot to say about J.J. as well, who's now the head coach on the Bucks. So now that J.J. Redick is our official head coach, Tommy, turning to the draft, which is less than a week away, I don't know how you feel about this, and I have some draft day trades that I want to throw your way, but I think with J.J. Redick, I mean, we kind of already knew J.J. Redick was going to be the head coach to some extent, but now that he's officially the head coach, given that he is the Lakers' upside swing, but at the head coaching position, I think we now will definitely draft a win-now, ready-made older player and less of an upside project. I think you were already leaning this way, but I could very much see the Lakers drafting Tristan Da Silva, who we talked about in the last episode, Daron Holmes, or Jalen Tyson. All of these guys are multi-year college prospects who are older and have sort of like a plug-and-play game. I could also very much see the Lakers drafting Duke's Jared McCain and Duke's Kyle Filipowski, not only because of Redick, by the way, not only because of the Duke connection, and also not only because the Lakers have been using Coach K as an unofficial consultant, but Kyle Filipowski is the type of forward slash big who allows the Lakers to play perfect five out offense and helps them maintain that versatility. Not the least of which is he's a 7-footer who can dribble pass shoot. He's not the most exciting, but he is a veteran. He is a Dookie. You know, there's a safe floor there. Do you agree with me before I get into these trade hypotheticals that, you know, the Lakers will probably go win now, ready-made player?
I still think they're going to go best player available, and I don't think the Redick hire changes that, but I we can go ahead with the hypos.
Okay. So my first hypothetical draft day trade for you, Tommy. Number 17, JHS, Gabe Vincent to the Cavaliers for number 20. Sorry?
I was just saying I like where this is starting.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to trade that package to the Cavaliers for number 20 and Caris LeVert's expiring $16.3 million. I'm not sure the Cavs would do this, but essentially you're trading three spots back and trading Gabe Vincent and JHS for a lankier Caris LeVert, who's a wild adventure. He's a wild roller coaster type of player, but lankier. He's kind of like the more fully realized version of Cam Reddish.
So I like this trade. I think I would do it. And I think one thing I forgot to mention in my straight thoughts, which is related to this about Redick, which is related to this trade, is Redick keeps emphasizing that he wants to have multiple ball handlers. Like he wants to have LeBron playing off the ball as much as possible, which, by the way, I think is a genius move. And I don't know why this wasn't like emphasized more the last like few years. It's like it was usually talk, but they never did it. But if JJ can actually pull that off, we will actually need more ball handlers. I mean, I think that statement and those types of, you know, impressions he's given about what his philosophy is going to be makes it much more likely in and of itself that D'Angelo Russell comes back. Obviously, it seems like we're going to keep Reeves, but that's not enough, right? It's like, if you really want LeBron to be off the ball, like most of the time, you need at least one more guy. And I think that guy is not going to be Gabe Vincent, who, although I love him for his defense, is like, not really a true point guard. He's like a defensive point guard. But LeVert can do some of that primary ball handling and creation and initiation and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the Lakers get to keep their pick. I mean, not their pick, but they still get the number 20th pick. They can draft a big at that spot. And if D'Angelo Russell returns, you get to reunite D'Lo and Caris LeVert from their Brooklyn Nets young gun days. And yeah, of course, I mean, D'Angelo Russell was the Lakers' best three-point shooter last year. You don't think J.J. Redick would like that, outside of the fact that he's also an on-ball player. Okay, my next trade hypothetical. Number 17, JHS and Cam Reddish to the Washington Wizards for Corey Kispert and the number 26 pick. Corey Kispert is on his last year before he becomes a restricted free agent. I'm not sure the Wizards do this, but yeah, if they said yes, what do you think about that deal?
I just don't think we get a pick back in that. I feel like in all these Corey Kispert trades, by the way, you underrate Corey Kispert. He's really good.
Okay, fine. Take the 26th pick out. So number 17, JHS, cameras for Corey Kispert.
I would totally do that. But I maybe I'm higher on Kispert than others, but I would definitely do that.
I think the Wizards have a second round pick. I want to pick back at least. Maybe not the 26th pick. Hold on, let me check. Okay, let's see. The Wizards have the 51st pick. At least give us like a future second back, okay? Like I think Corey Kispert in a future second I would do. I'm not sure if I'm trading the number 17th pick JHS Cam Reddish for Corey Kispert alone, but I'll maybe do it if they give us the 51st pick and a future second or something. Ideally number 26, but Corey Kispert would be a nice get, especially for JJ Redick as the head coach. What about this one? Number 17, Gabe Vincent, Cam Reddish to the Charlotte Hornets, Tommy, for Nick Richards, who's making $5 million the next 2 years, Cody Martin, who's making $8 million the next 2 years, number 42, and a future 2025 second round pick, which is going to be in the 30 range because it's the Charlotte Hornets. So we don't get another first round pick back, but we do get the number 42nd pick in this year's draft and a future second to restock our coffers. So Nick Richards, Cody Martin, number 42 and a future second.
I think I would do this. I think I would do it. I don't know that, like, I guess I mostly do it for Nick Richards and I think his size will help.
Yeah, I would do it for Nick Richards and Cody Martin, if he's healthy, is a He's kind of like a lesser version of Caleb Martin, but he's athletic. He can handle the ball. He plays tough defense. He is a taller Gabe Vincent in my eyes, though he doesn't shoot the three-point shot as well. Yeah, that's debatable. But yeah, I would do this for Nick Richards and Cody Martin. You kind of kill two birds with one stone here. It sucks losing the 17th pick, but with a number 42 pick in this year's draft, you may still find a guy that you like. Okay, what about this one, Tommy? Number 17, Gabe Vincent, JHS. I think you have to add Cam Reddish as well. For Zach Collins, who's making $16.7 million next year, number 35 and number 48.
I think I would still do this one. I feel bad that I, this have like little I value this pick apparently. I think I would still do this one because Zach Collins unlocks like a two big lineup for us, and I think he could play with AD, and he is very solid defensively.
Yes, I agree with you. You kind of get a really versatile backup big man in Collins. And even though we lose the number 17th pick, Tommy, let's say we would have like drafted Kyle Filipowski with that pick. Zach Collins is already the fully realized version of Filipowski, right? So he's only 26. You still get a number 35 pick, and who knows who could fall to that spot. You might still get like a Jalen Tyson or, well, maybe not. What's his name? Ryan Dunn, because the Knicks might pick him, but someone good is going to fall to number 35. You still have the number 48th pick. You can insure Bronny James with that pick instead of where the Lakers are currently at. So yeah, I'm pretty high on Zach Collins, which is why I would do this. I think this says more about what we think about JHS as just salary ballast at this point, but it is what it is. You can only have so many young prospects. Okay, one last one. Number 17, JHS, Cam Reddish to the Toronto Raptors for Jalen McDaniels, $4 million expiring. Number 19, number 31. So it's essentially, you just move two spots back. It's essentially a trade for JHS. It's essentially a trade between JHS, Cam Reddish for Jalen and the number 31st pick.
I like that mostly because, I don't know, at some point, you're not moving down that many spots, actually, and at least you're getting back like a guy who's not going to be on a guaranteed contract.
Well, Jalen McDaniels will be on a guaranteed contract.
I meant the pick.
Yeah, you mean number 31?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so Lakers pretty much essentially keep their pick. They're only moving two spots back. And with Jalen McDaniels, you can have your new Cam Reddish flyer. See if you can turn him into Nickeil Alexander-Walker or Derek Jones Jr. If not, whatever, he's expiring. But he is still like a 6'7" guy with a 7'2" wingspan. So yeah, I would do a trade like this. And then at number 19, you could still get whoever the Lakers wanted to get, Deron Holmes, Jalen Tyson, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, that does it for my trade hypotheticals. Tommy, did you have any trade hypotheticals or any last thoughts on the draft before we close this out?
I'm like, now that the coaching thing is done, dude, what is going to happen with this draft? I'm getting so anxious because I'm like, we clearly cannot have four developmental players going into next year. So some combination of the two picks from this year's draft and the two picks from last year's draft are going to get traded. And I just don't know if that's happening now, if it's going to happen after the draft. And so I'm eager to see what transpires there.
The Lakers really need to consolidate their picks, their young guys, et cetera, is your point. And, you know, today really kicked off the start of the NBA offseason with the JJ Redick news, but also Alex Caruso getting traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I think it's going to be a very interesting next few days leading up to the draft. And I would not be surprised if we have one of those days, Tommy, where before Wednesday night, the Lakers, you know, I don't know, D'Angelo Russell opts in all of a sudden and the Lakers ship him off, or they make like this ancillary trade even before they get to pick at number 17. So buckle up. It's going to be interesting with JJ Redick now in tow. But yeah, we got our coach podcast. Let's do this. All right. With that said, we will catch you guys next time. And Tommy, I will see you later.
Peace.
Peace.
You can count on T-Mobile to help keep you connected from big cities to small towns on America's largest 5G network. Switch to T-Mobile, keep your phone, and they'll pay it off up to $800 per line via prepaid card. Learn more at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica. Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.